Patriots, Bald Eagles. I don't even know what I'm doing. I was going to do some over the top fake intro. We have a great show for you, as always. Welcome to the Loftus Party Podcast. Holy crap. Yes, there's tons to talk about. I don't know if you guys heard about this, but there was some stuff going on at the Capitol that we're still feeling the repercussions of. They're talking about inauguration too. I guess there's some people saying he's already been not inaugurated. I'm talking about impeachment, but the inauguration is happening as well. But impeachment 2.0, the fallout from, there's so much to go through. We're going to be talking about QAnon. Come on. And I'm going to tease this as well. We're going to be talking a little bit about WandaVision. It's the new Marvel show. Hopefully we'll get that into the main body of the show. We got What's on the Web with Paul. It's week two for that one. That one's sticking around. That's a regular segment. Okay. So once again, there's so much big stuff happening. Oh, we'll also be talking about my appearance on the Greg Gutfeld show. Don't know if you caught that one. There's so much happening. I don't know where to start. We're going to take it kind of organically. And jump in here to our A block. Of course, we have the super smart, super sexy, super talented girl who does not want to have sex with Loki. We got the Liberty Gimlet on the other end of the line. How you doing, Gypsy?
I'm doing okay.
Right? That's you. That's what you got to do. It's like you got to choose. I think you got to choose to be optimistic in these troubled times.
No, well, optimistic, maybe not.
However, maybe realistic. Maybe realistic might be better. Realistic with a side of optimism.
I'm going to do the Scottish optimism.
Which is what?
Oh, things can't get any worse. The Scottish optimist says, yes, they can.
There you go. That's like
What I've decided to do is throw myself into doing things I can do.
Yeah.
So yeah. I have one job, and that is uniting groups within my state, right?
Right.
To do a massive scale kind of thing and make sure we, and from other states too, to make sure that we keep track of all the heinous things Democrats in moderate districts vote for, so that we can hammer them in 2022.
I'm already fired up about 2022. I dig that. And that's what we got to do. Cause it is bleak. Insane is overused. However, There's things happening, and there's always good stuff happening, but right now it is a tsunami, a veritable avalanche of BS, and just like a skier who's caught in an avalanche, we just gotta start digging. This thing at the Capitol, and they keep finding more and more of these Antifa dudes. They keep finding more and more of these, BLM supporters, anarchists. And I tell you, it's driving me crazy, and it's just so blatant. So it turns out there was not only was there the bison headed guy with the face paint, you know, and he's a big Q guy. He's a big vegan. He's a big whatever. He's got his own.
He's also mentally ill and a drug addict, but.
Yeah, he's got issues. But it turns out there's another guy there who was wearing fur and was, I guess he was buddy buddies with the dude with the Confederate flag. And this that kid's name is like Shlomo something. He's a registered Democrat. He doesn't like Trump. So I'm happy and sad at the same time. Because when you saw that Confederate flag going through, you're like, man, that is like the worst photo op in the history of photo ops. And it's like, This is not the first time this has happened. There was like Nazi flags at a Trump rally, and it turns out that dude was actually a Black Lives Matter. But you get your picture and you move on. And
they did the same thing to the Tea Party.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. However, I saw Kamala Ding Dong Harris being interviewed this morning, and she's like, it's scary. When the Confederate flag is on top, and it's like, oh, geez. So it worked like a charm. Congratulations, you wonderful propaganda artists. It worked.
Well, and have you seen the posters going around for things that are supposed to happen this weekend?
No, I have not.
Oh, my God. They so clearly come from the right. When you see pictures with a raised fist, even if it's on the Statue of Liberty, those are not your people.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, you can just tell looking at the aesthetic of them.
Yeah.
Nobody on the right made these, because there would be eagles and flags and other things. They wouldn't look like that.
Dig it. And now, of course, that media, that narrative's being, you know, completely squashed. And if you bring it up, you're some kind of like, it's just so boring.
Really?
It's just so predictable and boring, because you have to open up every statement with, you know, I don't condone violence by any sides, and violence isn't the solution, blah, 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 blah. So you have to say all that. And then you have to go like, however, this guy's Antifa. So it's just boring. And cool. And to watch these Democrats who stood by and watched the protests over the summer, they watched people lose everything. They encouraged it. You look at and Facebook is now, Facebook, the fact checkers, Maxine Waters is like, if you see one of these people out in public, you got to get in their face. You see them at the gas station, you got to get in their face. That whole quote, Facebook is fact checking that, saying it's taken out of context. And then it's just, it's the most crazy thing ever. Okay, you're dying to say something.
Well, first of all, I don't ever want to hear Republican or conservatives mouth again. That's whataboutism. Shut up. You do not even understand the fight we're in right now. And they have everything. They have the media. They have the universities. They have Hollywood. And they have all three branches of government. You don't even understand or see what they're doing. They're following a methodology called repressive tolerance.
Yeah.
It was articulated by a guy named Marcuse in 1965. And if you go out and read his little essay, you'll go, wow, that's exactly what they're doing.
Yes. And this is, it's too funny, because I was thinking about, honestly enough, as I was having my apple fritter and my coffee this morning, I was thinking about it. What do we want to talk about on the cast? You know, yada, yada, yada. And it boiled down to what you just said. And that thing that it's worth repeating. It bears repeating, as Jack White from the White Stripes once said. It's not a fair fight. Like, I don't, and this is, it's not whataboutism. I don't mind having a war of ideas. I don't.
No, not at all.
That's what I want to have. Because I firmly believe we have better ideas, right?
Yes.
For everything. So, but it's not a fair fight. And that's what I can't stand. And it's just like, watching, you know, each pundit on the right goes out into the schoolyard, and then all the left-wing media bullies and the cyber bullies, and they're all out there mocking and jeering and stomping all over free speech. And then you got the next, like right now it's Parler's turn in the grinder. And then it was Trump's turn. It's been Trump's turn for frickin' 5 years. And then when you have these, and they always, the left always elevates these voices, like Ben Sasse, who's so smart and so astute, he bravely goes after his fellow Republicans. Here's the problem with the Republican Party. I got no time for that. I got no time.
You know what the problem with the Republican Party is?
Do tell.
They hate their voters.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Vichy Republicans. If you look at the Vichy Republicans, like Mitt Romney and Ben Sasse and Jeb Bush and the McCain family, the whole lot of them, they don't even understand how the political coalitions have changed. They don't even understand the Democrats have knocked being the party of big business right out from under you. So unless you're a bitchy Republican, center right like Mitch McConnell, and I think Eric Weinstein has the greatest phrase for him ever, they're the kleptocracy, okay? You don't even care because you're united. I think he had the best analogy, right?
Who did? Who?
Eric Weinstein. There was a great interview between him and Glenn Beck. They don't agree on a lot of stuff, but man, it was an interesting conversation. He calls the Mitch McConnells, like everybody born in 1940 that's still leading our country and has no business doing it. He calls them the kleptocracy. He basically says it's like a family business and you run into the fifth generation and the engine has fallen off the thing. So the first thing you do is you try to supercharge it. And then the next thing you do is the elder members of the family start selling off all your wealth to try to squeeze every little dime they can for themselves out of it. Well, I mean, that's what they're doing at this point. I mean, why do you think we've treated China like a normal nation for the last 30 years? They're not a normal nation. They're horrible.
Okay, well, not getting too far afield. I just want to say this about Ben Sasse. Like, ultimately, he doesn't matter. Like, I don't even have time for that puss right now. I really don't. Like, okay, you're there. Yeah, I don't have time. Like, I just need to count on you for a couple votes, and then say whatever you want. Say whatever you want. Have your little tea party. Go apologize. Just go blow Joe Biden. Like, I don't care. And point fingers and all that other crazy stuff. I got bigger fish to fry. Whoever has the most votes wins. So that's what we got to be doing. And so that's where I am. And then here's the other thing. And I want to publicly declare this right now, you guys, because I don't want to let you down. And the Gimlet doesn't want to let you down. And I feel like I got a little kick in the balls before we started recording. I should know everything about the declassification of these FISA documents. I should know everything. That should be this whole show. That should be the whole show. So I'm pissed at myself for like letting that one almost slip through my fingers. It's like in a football game and there's been a fumble, but you managed to recover the fumble. That is the one that we have to scream bloody murder about. That is the biggest one. So, and I'm going to say this. I'm going to say the FISA and what the FBI and these unelected officials did to a private citizen and tried to change the shape of modern politics, that's numero uno. And then second of things that I'm never going to let go of is the Hunter Biden, Joe Biden crime family, the other Biden brother with his construction contracts, all of that. So those are the ones, and I just want to be a pit bull on it. There's going to be a lot of other BS that we're going to have to deal with in the meantime. A lot. And we'll get to that later on in the show. There's a tsunami of BS coming. But in my opinion, I can't think of anything more important. You know what? I got to add this to the list. We got to stop the mail-in ballots. That's going to be number three. And then number four, and some of these we might have to do simultaneously. All of these are going to have to do simultaneously. Is the new DACA thing? What Joe Biden? What his plan is there for millions and millions and millions of people in the U.S. illegally? Does that sound about right to you, Gimlet?
The things that must be done, I don't know how you put this. So I've started to work across groups and across all different kinds of lines with like-minded people that I've happened to collide with on social media and other places. And we need to take the one thing the one thing that every Republican should have learned in this last 4 years.
Yes.
Is how to appropriately market your ideas.
Okay. I'm interested.
You don't do it by talking about. So, okay. So Joe Biden's disastrous immigration. We already have a rush on the border, right? Whose communities does that make less safe? Not mine.
Correct.
How do you communicate that broadly? Okay. Whose employment prospects does that hurt the most? Not mine.
So what are you saying? You gotta get to it here.
You've got to be able to tell people the story and how it impacts them.
Right.
You can't sit there and talk about high level ideas like Republicans like to do.
Yes.
You have to explain to them what the outcome is. Like when you look at all this climate crap that Joe Biden's going to sign in his first 10 days and all that good stuff, when your energy prices go up, that's why.
Yes. Now, I will say this. So because I agree with you 110%. So what I would say to do is, you know, you go down to some little town on the border and you talk to a rancher who's terrified at night and he's got cameras up and he's documenting these people. So he's because fear sells. Fear is a great motivator. Look at the lockdowns. We'll get to that later. And then I think the most heart-wrenching and the biggest gut punch on, like, you know, lack of border security is someone who has lost a loved one to violence that would not have occurred. Like, right? Mm-hmm. Your heart breaks for people. Like, and then it occurred to me as I was listening to you and then having that thought simultaneously, I think they banned angel moms from Facebook. You know, there's a group. Yeah, there was a group called Angel Moms. It was all a community of families whose lives had been, you know, destroyed. They lost loved ones to violence perpetrated on someone, and someone got killed
by an illegal immigrant.
Yes, but they got banned. They got banned from Facebook, which brings us to the whole, censorship issue. And wow, it's like this is one of those things where, you know, you don't want to be right. You don't want to be right. And so much about what we see, like you and I, we do this show and, you know, all these other things, and we're very active. And it's like when you see it coming and you're like, boy, and you try to warn people, you try to tell people, you try to give people a heads up and here's what we can do. And then it doesn't go our way. And yes, we were right. Those storm clouds that we saw. Yep. We thought that was going to be a tornado, and yep, it's a tornado. And yep, we've all lost our houses and our barns have been destroyed and the livestock's dead. Well, it sucks.
But I mean, it's not
it sucks.
The thing.
And
that,
that's the censorship storm is.
But
just,
it's not just people on the right, though. They're taking down some lefty podcasts. Some lefty accounts, because so if what you can't have, right, what you can't have is people of the left, like a Greg Greenwald, right, or an Eric Weinstein or Brett Weinstein. You can't have or any number of others who thought the alligator was going to eat them last and sign the Harper's letter. You know, Matty Iglesias had to leave Vox, which he helped found. Glenn Greenwald had to leave The Intercept, which he founded because of censorship. And it's you can't be of the left and be accepted in those circles if you're critical of the left and telling them in this area you've gone too far. If you do that, you are going to be ostracized every bit as much as a conservative will be. They take no criticism. None.
I want to hear more. I want to hear more names of podcasts and people that have lost things due to censorship. That's a great one. That's a great one to amplify. And hypocrisy is always kind of delicious. You always kind of rejoice in the hypocrisy of it all. But it's just these people celebrating censorship right now. Comedians, friends of mine. I know I was talking about this last week, but I'm still just absolutely gobsmacked by like these stand-up buddies of mine who were just like, yeah, how is censorship good?
You really think the alligator's going to eat you less? Did you learn nothing from Sarah Silverman? Did you learn nothing from Kevin Hart?
But Sarah Silverman got in
for you.
But she got in no trouble. She did straight up blackface, and she's fine. She's fine. Kevin Hart's fine. I'm talking about people who there was a professor who was a conservative and a little bit outspoken. That guy blew his brains out. He like killed himself. Paul Hare, who's going to be on with us later with What's on the Web with Paul. This was months ago. The guy's like, hey, we're going to freaking dox you. And now we know where you teach and don't hire these people and blah, 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 blah. The guy killed himself. Has anyone on the left? It's like this is what I'm saying. There's two sets of rules. I mean, yes, yeah, Sarah Silverman did straight up blackface. She did straight up like minstrel show blackface. I'm not talking about the stuff that Ted Danson did. And it's just like, there's no repercussions. You say you're sorry and then they move on. So I'd love to hear more about people on the left who have been silenced, because that's what we got to say. It's like, okay, it's Trump and it's this guy and it's that guy and like the whole Parler thing. And you know, yes, we are on.
I mean,
Parler.
That's just insane.
Parler, it's driving me crazy. You know, when you look at your iPhone and you have like that little red circle with the alerts on it, you know, and it's like, I can't stand it.
I have 177.
I can't stand that thing. I can't stand it.
But I can't take it off my phone because I'll never be able to download it again.
But I have no time for the little red bubble with the numbers in it. And I got 47 notifications on Parler.
And I got 177 and I can't check them.
It's horrible. It's horrible. It's hell on earth.
And I mean, I'm like an equal opportunity participant here. I mean, I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I was on Parler. I'm on MeWe. I'm on Minds. I mean, I'm going to like level out somewhere, I'm sure. But at least through 2022, certainly the organization I'm working with is going to be everywhere because it needs to talk to everybody.
Yeah. Well, there is the people on Gab have their own servers. The people on Gab have their own complete infrastructure, and that just needs to happen more and more. Okay, we went a little far afield. We're going to talk about the impeachment, and we're going to be talking about some COVID lockdown, what I'm calling Biden miracles. You guys, there are so many Biden miracles happening right now that we just need to celebrate them. That's sarcasm.
He called it.
We'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 5000 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 5000. Enjoy.
And behold, the liberal media spake, and they said it was good. Verily, I bring forth Joseph Biden, and behold, the miracles They're all around us. They're all around us, Gimlet. It's wild how New York, all of a sudden, New York's like, we got to end these lockdowns. These lockdowns
Chicago?
Are... Chicago! What? Lori Lightfoot's on board. They have seen the light. They have seen the light. Behold!
Well, and then the study came out from Stanford.
What?
That
what
they
was
don't
that
make
saying?
Any difference.
Oh, my
lockdowns
goodness.
Lockdowns don't make a difference.
Oh, my goodness gracious me. How lucky we are. How lucky
then,
we are.
Then there's like one honest reporter on COVID at the New York Times. One, and I can't say her name. It's like a Puvra Nabiri or something like that. Like she's actually done good. She's actually done really good work talking about the cycle threshold being too high, talking about we should use that to determine disease severity, talking about she's actually done honest, like it must be an accident that she's employed by them, but she's actually done some good stuff. And article by her today, remember when President Trump had the COVIDs?
Yes.
And they took him to the hospital and they gave him the monoclonal antibodies and a steroid and he felt a lot better?
Yes.
Guess what's sitting on the shelves not being used because the FDA won't put it out there? The monoclonal antibodies. You know what'll get approved the minute Joe Biden is inaugurated?
The monoclonal antibodies.
Yes.
I don't even know. I just thought it was remdesivir. That's what I thought.
No. Remdesivir has no, like the World Health Organization is like US NIH headed by Dr. Anthony Fauci, you despicable liar. We don't know how you did your study, but we can't replicate it in four others. Don't use this. They've actually put out a conditional warning against using remdesivir because they can't replicate a study globally that shows any benefit at all.
It's crazy. Every time I think about that guy who runs the World Health Organization, it makes me laugh because he's not a doctor. He's just a dude. And there's a clip of him at some conference somewhere, and he had gone to a gay bar. I guess he's a gay man. But he was like the old dude at the club, and they got a picture of him like standing at the bar, and he's all decked out, and he's like doing that creepy, he's like dancing all by himself and just like looking around, looking for somebody to, it makes me laugh every time. And everybody's like, ooh, what's he going to say next? What's he going to say next? He has no idea. They haven't told him yet. But that's, listen, I'll take it. We all knew it was going to come. We all knew it was coming when Joe Biden was going to come in. Then, oh my goodness. Like you were saying last week and the week before and the week before and the week before, they're just going to dial down the test results, right? They're going to dial them down so they won't be as sensitive and like, oh my gosh, we're wearing the masks and we're doing what we're told and we're good people. Look at it. I'm telling you guys right now. And everybody, if you base it on the flu numbers, if you base what's going on right now on the flu numbers, it's all going to peak next week, right around the 25th. They say the 25th will be the turning point. And once again, right on time. All right. So we'll talk some more about Kamala Harris. We'll talk a little bit more about Joseph Biden. Kamala Harris is she's so annoying, and to watch the media just suck up to her, and it's so gross.
Did you see the fight
it's
about so the magazine cover?
Oh, that her camp was unhappy with the outfit she was wearing on the cover, and they thought that was going to be used for something else.
Yeah.
It's just a total and complete.
Like, really, that's what we're focused on. We all know you're a little chunky, Kamala. Even if you're not wearing the black, even if you are wearing the black suit, we all know you're a little chunky.
I had a moment a few days ago where I think it was somebody in Kamala Harris's camp or some left-wing pro-woman organization was begging people to wear pearls to support. And I'm like, So Kamala Harris is wearing a pearl necklace, and you want all women to wear pearl necklaces. I had so many tweets
and
that I deleted.
And post the picture of you wearing your pearl necklace, and I'm just sitting here going, you guys have no effing idea what you're in for.
I don't, they had to know. They had to know. That's why I kept deleting my pearl necklace tweets. Like, this is a trap. This is a trap. Because Kamala's very familiar with the pearl necklace. She has worn, that's how she got here, you guys.
Saw that tweet and I literally had to close my Twitter because I'm like, I'll get suspended seconds.
That's what I thought too. I'm like, this is a trap. This is a trap. It's like,
I did see somebody do it correctly. They're like, they really didn't think this through, did they?
Yeah, you have to really take a side shot at that one. Okay, yeah. So to me, it's hilarious. And this is what I did one of my videos about at the Loftus Party YouTube channel last week, was just like, how fast the Democrats start acting like Republicans. It's like, Republicans are always like, you know, when cities were going up in flames over the summer, this is like one of the standard things of being a conservative, being a small government, like law and order. We need law and order, right? If you break the law, you go to jail. That's just standard operating procedure. And the Democrats are like, well, these are frustrated kids. They need to be heard and peacefully protest and burn stuff down, yada, yada, yada. And they don't, walls are horrible. Walls are horrible. And we got to defund the police. And it's so just delicious.
Edifying.
Yes. To watch these people who, like, wow, if you support the police, you're a Nazi. If you want law and order, you're a fascist pig. And if you want walls, you're a racist.
You're a xenophobe.
And a xenophobe, yeah. And then, wow, isn't it different when it happens to you? Isn't it different when that big angry mob comes for you? How fast they were like, we need to get some army men up in this bitch. We need a wall. And how about the brave men and women in our police force? And they just couldn't go fast enough. They moved with lightning speed to take
on. Well, they moved from lightning speed, sort of. Because they still all called the Capitol Police racists.
Yeah, but I have seen members of the squad talking about
AOC.
The brave cops and all that other stuff. So that's just funny for the people who said walls don't work. Boy, they threw up a wall pretty damn fast. And then here's another question you have to ask yourself. It's like when they were going in front of the White House and they had to get Trump out of the way because the church had been set on fire and they destroyed that guard shack.
And they actually broke the barricade there.
Right, but they're like, wow.
65 officers were hurt.
Yeah, but they're like, wow, people really hate Trump. They hate Trump. Look at those people who all hate Trump. And it was kind of like this, like, bizarre badge of honor. That also holds true for Congress. That also holds true. Listen.
Actually, Congress has a lower approval rating. Congress's approval rating, I want to remember correctly. Congress has a 22% approval rating. The last one measured for President Trump among likely voters was 48.
I got to mention this. I'm so glad I didn't forget because I didn't write it down. There's a couple of quotes that really stand out to me. And they're just like, keep this one in the long-term memory. Always let this kind of fuel your fire. And it's Obama saying whoever gets the most votes gets to do what they want. That one's a big one. The other one. And this one hit me like a ton of bricks today. A house divided cannot stand, right? That whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone seems to think about, like, oh, we got to come together. We got to unify. We got to come together.
It doesn't,
Gimlet. That's an Abe Lincoln one. And that comes from a speech he gave that what he was saying there. Wasn't like, hey, we got to come together and unify. He's going, we have to win. We have to win. We have to eliminate the other side. That terrified me. That really and got me motivated. Wow, a house divided cannot stand. So let's get rid of that side that's dividing us. That was like, yikes. And so I really think, and this is just me, conspiracy hat, and this, and a lot of other smarter people than me have been saying this, so I'm just kind of echoing the other sentiment. It's like, yes, we can unify now if you stop believing your beliefs. If you agree with the left, then we can have unity tomorrow. That's it. It's capitulation. It's like to go Game of Thrones. It's like, you know, they won Game of Thrones. They got Joe Biden on the throne and Queen Kamala's waiting her turn to take over. And we're all welcome into the big family as long as we bend the knee. And I'm not going to do it. I'm not bending the knee.
I have to send you the meme.
Oh, you do. You do. But I'm going to go.
Well, I do, because this is, guys, just really Google repressive tolerance. It's everything you need to know about what they're doing right now.
That's such a smart term, repressive tolerance.
Basically, what it says.
Yeah, there you go. Give me that. That's where I'm always going to thrive. Basically, what it says.
What it
that's,
says.
That's my
is
wheelhouse.
Only the left can define truth. Only the left, and you only give tolerance to truth. Everyone else is indoctrinated, so you must accept whatever means necessary to fight that indoctrination. So if you're from the right and you want to conserve things from the past, you're indoctrinated. So everything up to violence can be exercised against the right, and the left has to excuse it, but it is never to be accepted in return.
Yeah. It ain't good. It ain't good.
And that's where you remember, you hear this term and it just like sounds like nails on the chalkboard. Don't you want to be on the right side of history? That's the essay that phrase comes from.
Oh, yeah. The right side of history. That's not who we are. That's not who we are. Boy, there's going to be a lot of healing going on. So here's what I would suggest. Be fun. Be amicable. Be friendly. But hang on to your core beliefs, like a unicorn hanging on to the outside of Noah's Ark. That's probably not a good metaphor because unicorns aren't around anymore. But you know what I'm saying?
A social experiment.
That's wild. Does it have anything to do with what I just said?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Hang on to your beliefs, but I'm gonna figure out how to use the language of the left to move people to the right.
There you have it. There you have it. And this is where I feel like a mad scientist super genius. And that's literally, and I won't even bore you guys by the soapbox, but it's like, that's what I'm trying to do. Play between the lines. Okay, you guys have some jacked up rules. You're changing them all the time. But I'm going to joke. I'm going to push it as far as I can. I'm going to joke. I'm going to make fun. Ah, ha, ha. We're all having good fun. But all we have to do, it's that, all you have to do is get a stranger to scratch the surface. That's all you have to do is get someone, a total stranger, to go, wait a minute, I never thought about it that way. And then they do some investigating. This is the perfect segue. This is the perfect segue. We couldn't have lined this up any better. QAnon. Everybody's going after QAnon right now. Now, here's what I want to say about QAnon. And the more I think about it, I was never a big QAnon guy. I was never, you know, ooh, there was a drop. I got to see what there. A lot of friends of mine were. Ooh, there was a drop. I got to see what this means and blah, 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 blah. It had never occurred to me before what you said last week on the podcast, that this is like a psyop, a psychological operation, you know, built to da, 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 which I tell you what, now hindsight's 2020, looking back at it, probably. That would make a lot of sense. That would make a lot of sense. However, I do want to say this, and this is what this goes for Donald Trump supporters, and this goes out to my good, dear, and trusted friends who followed Q and just couldn't wait for the latest drop. What Q did, the good from that is this, and I'll always celebrate this, it made people curious. Like we were just saying, oh, tell a joke, bring up a topic, bring up a conversation, get people to like just think a little bit differently. The good part of Q was you had people on the internet going, you know what? I'm going to dig into that. I don't know if this is true. That can't be. I'm going to look into that. And there's public documents, and all of a sudden you're looking at things in a new way and you're super inquisitive. That is a wonderful thing. And I don't want that to stop. I love that there are people on the internet, and there's people who take delight in things that, you know, I don't care about, but they do, and they love it. And I love that they love it. And if they want to go pouring through State Department documents, and if they want to look at, like, oh, they shifted this troop to here, and what's that battleship doing over there? And oh my gosh, I love that. And I want to keep that going. So there's a big, big upside to Q. That's my Q tip of the day.
And I think I agree with you, because I do my own homework and I find myself going down rabbit holes.
Yeah. Right?
That's how I figured out what the Ukraine Revolution was all about. And that's how I figured out what the Great Reset was all about. And all of that. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, and those are all things on the internet, people. They're not my words. I'm just reading their words. Mm-hmm. The Transition Integrity Project on the internet. They put it out there. I'm not making it up.
Yeah.
But here's the problem I run into with the whole Q thing. Because here's what I think it actually did and why I started thinking a long time ago that something was not right.
Yes.
So what that initiative did, and I'm not convinced it didn't come from the left or even from our own intelligence services. What it did is it filled in the gaps in the public consciousness for things that the media won't deal with and our government won't deal with, like Jeffrey Epstein.
Yes.
So it filled in that stuff. And then just kept getting nuttier and nuttier and nuttier for people who didn't do their own homework, till all of a sudden we have John Roberts leads a child pedophile ring, and that's why he keeps ruling against President Trump. And oh, by the way, the Pope was arrested for child molestation.
Well, that's the wild thing about it is, like, if it was an operation, you know, devoted to get people off the track and to get da, 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 da. It was to make people look crazy. Yes. And then you've got the storm is coming. The storm is coming. And you can then, if you're the person who's in charge of Q, you get to decide when the storm comes, right? And you can make an event like what happened at the Capitol Hill. Now that's sounding, you know, very, very, very conspiracy theory right there. However, that's in reality how it would work. Like, if, and I'm just taking the leap of faith here, you guys, I'm just taking the leap of faith that, like, there's a group of people sitting around a think tank and, like, okay, we're going to start this thing. And then the end date will have to be, you know, right before the inauguration. You can play it kind of loosey goosey. However, to all the people who supported Q and followed it, I want you to stay interested, because more good will end up coming out of that. More good will come out of that than anyone ever anticipated, because there's always unintended consequences. There's always, and this is why I'm a small government guy, and this is why I don't like really fast, you know, knee-jerk reaction decisions, because there's always unintended consequences. And the unintended consequences of Q is they encouraged millions of super patriotic Americans to do research, look, be curious. And in the past, that the internet, remember when the internet saved George W. Bush? Remember when Dan Rather was going at him with, like, oh, and we have the documents that prove that he got out of his blah, blah, blah service. And it was like, this is way before Q, but some dude on the internet was just like, nope, they didn't have that type font then, because I love typewriters and I know for a fact. And then boom, it blew the lid off it. I want that to keep going. I want everybody who followed Q to stay curious. And listen, you guys, you're not telling a story. You're not writing fiction. There doesn't have to be some big payoff. But if you just stay true to yourself, stay true to your values, and stay inquisitive and look around and do digging, something will just drop in your lap. And then for the love of God, contact us. So we can break the story. Okay. We got so much more show coming up. We got What's on the Web with Paul. We still got to talk about WandaVision. We still got to talk about this new wave of illegal immigrants that's coming, new caravan coming out, and what's going on with the illegal immigrants that are living here now. Biden has plans, you guys. Big plans. We're going to be discussing them next.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-7602 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-7602 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-7602. That's 1-800-516-7602. Again, 1-800-516-7602.
We're still looking for theme music for this, but I love this segment. Here we go, you guys. Buckle up. It's time for What's on the Web with Paul. It's time for What's on the Web with Paul. It's the second week of this segment that I so dig. No pressure, Paul. No pressure, but I do have a question for you. What's on the web?
More great stuff at theloftusparty.com.
What?
Excited to talk about it.
Yeah, what do you got? What's jumping out at you? What's your like, ooh, this is the one I can't wait to share?
Well, that's what we're going to have to do because we have so much great stuff on there this week that I'm not even going to be able to cover it all.
Oh, my Lord.
let's start off with Lisa Kay this week. She has another good one up. It's called In Appreciation of Rowan Atkinson. So I don't know if everybody knows who he is. That's Mr. Bean, probably.
And the Black Adder.
Yes.
And I want to tell you, I just got to jump in because I'm looking at it right now. You have to pick the picture that goes with the article. And that portrait of Rowan Atkinson, and that you got to go to the website just to see that. But like I want that. I want a portrait like that of myself. That's a great piece that she wrote.
Right. That's a better one to use. Like if you're you're putting your picture in the paper, you don't want to use his Mr. Bean shots. You want to use that one instead.
Dig it. All right. So that's a great piece on Rowan Atkinson. That dude is so funny. He really is. I don't know if America appreciates him as much as they should. The cool kids do, but we're turning the rest of America and the world on. Okay, what's your next one?
Well, the next one, just yesterday, I don't know if everybody knows who David French is. David French writes at National Review, and he's the most moral man in America. Just ask him and he'll tell you that. Anyway.
He's also heir to the mustard fortune.
that sounds about right. But anyway, yesterday this is what he tweeted. I said treated, but I actually meant tweeted.
Mm-hmm.
He said, the evidence that January 6th was a Christian insurrection just grows and grows and grows. Combating this perversion of the gospel has to be top security. It's not just heresy. It's an active threat to the peace and security of the nation. Just pay attention to that because you're going to see more and more of that coming. But as it relates to what's on the web with Paul, go to the Loftus Party and read a little short story I wrote. It's called Get Him on the Kill List. And I originally wrote it back in 2019, but I republished it now. Just go ahead and read that. And remember that tweet from David French. So
wow.
Just want to tease that out.
That's what I love about fiction. That's the power of fiction, and especially science fiction. People that you see, because you think about the future and this could happen and that could happen. It's almost like you have ESP. You know, you read a lot of, I love like the Philip K. Dick stuff, and there's a bunch of great stuff, and it's science fiction. People are cool that way. That's what I love about them.
I love it too. It's better than, it's a lot more fun than writing nonfiction. I know you've written both, but I don't know if you agree with me, but writing fiction's a whole lot more fun than nonfiction anyway.
So I got to circle back to this tweet from David French, the Mustard Man. He's saying it was a Christian thing at the Capitol.
Yep, that's what you're going to see. You're going to see more and more of that. You're going to see as Biden. Remember, think about how badly things have gone downhill already, and Biden has not even been sworn in yet. Once he swears in, you're going to see everything in the news is going to be about white supremacists, and are going to be about Christian terror threats. That's all it's going to be, and it's going to grow from there. And people really don't have any idea what's coming right now, but everybody's going to see.
I'm checking my barometer, and I'm thinking there's a very good chance you could be correct on that. Okay, moving on. So you guys got to go read Get Him on the Kill List. That's a short story from some dude named Paul Hare. Don't know much about him.
Yeah.
What else do we got on the web?
I think you did a few videos this week. The first one that I'm looking at is Arnold's video message. Arnold, of course, is Arnold Schwarzenegger. I didn't bother watching his video, but I did watch yours. And so I guess Arnold is being a good Republican. And by being a good Republican, I mean he's turning on Republicans, because that's what Republicans and conservatives do.
Yeah.
And so you did a little Arnold video of your own in response to that. And that's pretty funny. So people should go watch that. Remember, go to theloftistparty.com to watch it, because that way our site's getting hits, and so is our YouTube channel.
Yeah, yeah. The Arnold video especially delighted me, because it's like Arnold and Trump have gone toe-to-toe a bunch. And Arnold was on The Apprentice, and he got booted, and you know there's bad blood between him and the Donald. So Arnold waited. That dude waited for Trump to get deplatformed, and then he comes across with, here's the real danger, here's what the man, this is the, I'm like, okay, yeah. It was like the most little bitch move I've ever seen out of Arnold, and I had to make fun of it.
Yeah, he deserves it, and, you know, I have no respect for the guy anymore. Not that I'm sure that I ever did have respect. I mean, I didn't know him, but I definitely don't have respect for him now.
I totally did. I used to, I have a big Arnold hunk of my stand-up, just about, like, his story is awesome. His story is awesome. He comes to America, can't speak the language, becomes a millionaire selling real estate. The whole time he's training for Mr. Olympia. So seriously, Arnold was a millionaire in the real estate game. At the same time, he was going for his last Mr. Olympia crown here in the States. Then he wins that. Then he becomes a freaking box office superstar actor. Then he becomes the governor. It's like he's the American success story. And I guess, you know, he's got the right to his opinion, and I got the right to make fun of him. Okay, yep. We're moving on. What else do we got?
Do yourself a favor and check out Shaky Graves. That's actually a name of a post. I'm not telling you that, Michael, but you knew that because you wrote that. But that's the name of the post. Shaky Graves, of course, is, I don't think it's a band. I think it's an actual individual who goes by Shaky Graves.
It's a dude. And like, I'm late to the Shaky Graves party, which is why I titled that Do Yourself a Favor and Check Out Shaky Graves. How did I miss this guy? How did I miss this dude? It's this kid out of Austin, Texas. And he's got a really cool, like, original throwback sound. And I just love that he's got, like, a little kick drum and a little, like, another kick drum or kickstand that activates, like, a tambourine. So it's almost like an old-school 1930 blues drifter one-man band kind of a thing. But I really dug a couple of his tunes.
Wasn't that like the guy in The Music Man? He did that one-man band thing. He had the drum thing attached to him, and then he was playing the harmonica and whatever else. He was just that one-man band.
Now imagine that being cool. All right, so yeah, check out Shaky Graves.
We're going to get to some more music, but first we're going to another post by Cranky Gordon. He did tips for social media withdrawal. It's a pretty funny piece.
Yeah.
It's all written humorously. It's written like he's at something like an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, and he's talking about how he's addicted to social media. But he gets into some serious stuff by way of a humorous way of doing it. So make sure you check out that. Everybody who's online should be able to relate to that. Tips for social media withdrawal.
Good stuff. That's a good piece. Very funny. Very funny.
Next, we got another one by Michael. Perfectly cooked steak using a cast iron skillet. Apparently cast iron's coming back. I've never cooked with it because I've always heard that it's, you know, trying to take care of a cast iron skillet is a whole thing in and of itself. But apparently that is coming back.
Cast iron skillets started making a comeback a few years ago, and I think it's reaching critical mass. And I remember getting one in Los Angeles years ago and just thinking, oh my gosh, you know, what have I done? You have to season it when you first get them. But dude, when you get that skillet going on the top of the stove or your grill or whatever, and you sear your steaks. And then the great thing about cast iron, it's freaking cast iron. It's indestructible. You take that whole bitch and you pop it in the oven. I'm telling you right now, I'm gonna keep doing the best of. I love this whole best of recipe thing. My mouth is watering right now. And get yourself a cast iron skillet. There was a great troll the other day on Twitter. Someone saying, man, I got a cast iron skillet and I've run it through the dishwasher twice now. I just can't seem to get it clean. Are there any tips? And people were losing their minds on because you don't do that. You don't put it in the dishwasher. Okay, what's next? I love this segment.
So I said we're getting back to music and we got the sea shanties. Try saying that six times fast. Sea shanties are why we still love the internet. So that's another post by Michael. It's exactly what it sounds like. I wasn't sure at first if it was a euphemism for something else, but it's not. It is really about sea shanties. When I saw that, it reminded me of a sea shanty from, there was a television series called Turn on AMC a few years ago.
Yeah.
It was about the Culper spy ring during the Revolutionary War. And there was they did a cover of a sea shanty called Spanish Ladies. And some woman, I think she's from New Zealand or Australia, sang it. Her name's Sarah Blasco. So in addition to what you see there at the post on theloftusparty.com, you can also check out Sarah Blasco's cover of Spanish Ladies.
Fantastic. Yeah, the sea shanty thing is very cool. I'm not going to ruin it by just go check it out. If you're not familiar with what's going on in the internet with sea shanties right now, it's a feel-good story. It's wonderful.
Yep. And that brings us, I think the last one I'm going to mention is Democrats turning into Republicans. That's another video. Again, just go right to theloftusparty.com. And it's a clever title because when you watch it, you understand exactly what that means.
Yeah, it's I thought that one was insanely funny. I got a couple that I need to plug real quick before we end this segment. I have been a fan of, and I think since the very first iteration of the Loftus Party, I've done shout outs to the Black Tape Project. And if you're not familiar with the Black Tape Project, it's a nude model and they're wearing nothing but tape. And it sounds very like lowbrow. And it sounds like, oh yeah, there's going to be, you know, a couple pieces of tape over a nipple and blah, blah, blah. You guys, the art that these artists, when they cover up these women's bodies with tape, you have to see it. It's some of the coolest stuff ever. And they do fashion shows. And I got a video up from the Black Tape Project from Swim Week in Miami from 2019. And the cool part about it is this video that I chose opens up with a guy applying the tape, and you just see the artistry and how they do it. And the way I kind of tried to reverse engineer it, I think these guys have to be like, it had to have started with a dude who did like pinstriping on cars. It has to be, because this dude does it with such ease. And you're talking about a really, you know, curvy, voluptuous. These are models, and there's lots of curves on the surface. So check out the Black Tape Project in the video there from Swim Week Miami. So there's so much good stuff. I found this video game the other day, Paul.
Yeah, that's what I was going to, I forgot to mention. That's Boundary. I watched that. I couldn't quite figure out, is it supposed to be first person shooter? Or is it a mixture? What exactly is it?
Yeah, it's a first person shooter. but it's outer space. And I really, I need to do some more research to see about the mechanics, because from the trailer, it looks like, so it's a first person shooter, but it's also team based combat as well. You're an astronaut. You're on some kind of space station, but you're out in the suit. You're in the suit. So there's like no sound to the trailer. The trailer is so spooky. And you see these people like loading and launching weaponry in zero gravity. And then I'm wondering if the mechanics, because I and this is just my ignorance. If you shoot, I know if you shoot a gun on the moon, the bullet will go, if you have to aim it perfectly, but the bullet will go all the way around the moon. It'll go into orbit. But if you shot if you were in a spacesuit and you shot a weapon, the bullet's going to go forward. Will you also go backwards at the same time? Like, those are the kind of mechanics that I want to know. It terrified me. It terrified me. I'm so excited. I want to play it.
Right. That's I guess we're all going to find out, since we now have a Space Force, so we'll eventually find that stuff out. But of course, there's the video game, which is a whole separate story.
Absolutely.
I'll say something real quick here if we still have time. I actually mentioned to you, I still have the Atari. Everybody remember the Atari video game system?
Yeah!
If I ever get the time, and this is a big if, I might want to do some photographing of the actual cartridges and some of the packaging that I have. Somebody did a book on Atari artwork years ago, but I thought I might do my own little thing on that, because that stuff is actually still pretty interesting to look at. Some of that artwork they did for those games, pretty good.
I think that's a fantastic idea. Okay, so much good stuff on theloftusparty.com, and there's more and more every day. There's so much stuff we didn't even mention. Paul, you need to go grab your camera and start taking pictures of Atari cartridges.
That plus one more thing. Don't forget, everyone, go to Amazon.com, buy my book, Her True Self. Again, that's Her True Self. That's a great way to help me, help with the Loftus Party. I know everybody's not too happy with Amazon right now, but that's still a good book to get. And again, it helps me.
And when you do pick that up, leave a review, click some stars.
Absolutely.
That helps the algorithm as well. Paul, I love you, buddy. We'll talk to you soon. I hope you guys enjoyed episode 2. This is a regular segment now of What's on the Web with Paul.
Thanks, Michael.
All right. Talk to you later, buddy. I love that segment. I love it. And I apologize to the listeners. I dropped the ball. I got to get theme music for that. I got to go find some sweet ass copyright free music. Okay. We got to give some time to a couple things. I'll tease a couple stories. I watched the first two episodes of WandaVision. Not impressed. Will there be a good payoff? Boy, I hope so. But man, coming out of the gate slow on the WandaVision. All right. So we were talking in the B block about the upside of Q, and I wanted to make sure that we had this next little bit in the meat of the whole show. Now, this conversation continues on Patreon, but this is one of those draw a line in the sand moments. The Senate and the Republicans, they need to dig in their heels big time. And if Trump is told, if they continue down this impeachment thing, and then after Trump leaves office, and then Joe Biden is sworn in for his little guest starring role as pretending to be president until Kamala takes over, and if they still go after Trump after that, we can't allow that to happen. We can't allow that to happen. To put it in really simple terms, the idea of impeachment is you got a bad, bad person in the White House. And we got to get them out. We got to get them out. So to save America, this person is so horrible, we got to get him out of office. Okay, so if Trump is that horrible, he's out of office. There's no threat there. They realize the power of personality. They realize his place in pop culture and in news and all this stuff. They want to silence him. This is nothing more than going after your political enemies after they're no longer in office. Thoughts, Gimlet.
First of all, I agree. They saw what he was capable of doing in the last election when everything was leveraged against him. Donations from Mark Zuckerberg, into specific offices in specific states, the media, the entertainment industry, everything, every single one of our institutions was stacked against him. And he still pulled in new minority voters, new Hispanic voters, new Black voters. He started to build what terrifies them, a middle and working class coalition, because that's who progressive policies hurt. And if the population of the United States ever figures out it's actually a class war, not a race war, Democrats will never lose or never win again.
Well, this is I think a big truth, however, never underestimate the power of the Democrats to shift. Like it's like what Clinton did when the Newt Gingrich and the Congress and Newt was the speaker and he's like, we're gonna have the most prolific 100 days, we're gonna do all this great stuff, and then Clinton just co-opted it, you know, and made it his own. And I wouldn't be surprised to see some smart people on the left try to co-opt your argument, your theory, because that's what I think it is too. You can lie to people for a super long time. However, you see the factories are gone. You see made in China everywhere, and you know that China is up to shenanigans and up to no good. And it's just hard to compete with reality. Like people, like
yeah, reality will win. Yes. But they are so invested in this identity politics ever since 2010, that's where everything is headed. And it's a lot easier to introduce terrible ideas when you're dividing people that way than if they're divided in other ways. So that's why I'm saying that whole storytelling, appealing to people's personal emotional situation, making them understand why life feels a little bit harder 8 months from now than it even did during the pandemic, because your taxes have been raised, fuel costs more. Being able to explain those things in a way that resonates with people and tying them back to the policies is how you break through that.
Yes, and I think the best way to do it is just to actually do it. And let everyone else do the reverse engineering on what you just did. However, the Gimlet brings up a really good point, and this is where it'll pay off for the people who listen to this podcast. Before we switch over to the Patreon part of the show, which you guys can do. You can do. Like, listen, we're not asking for like, oh, for $25. No. You can get in for a low dollar amount. That's all I'm gonna say. But here's the tip. Here's the heads up. And this is like we opened up the show with saying, I don't like being right. Sometimes I don't like being right. You see storm clouds on the horizon. You get like, here it comes. And people tell you, no, that's not going to. The vast majority of the time, the Gimlet and I aren't steering you wrong. So here's your heads up. Save your nickels. Save your nickels. Save your dimes. Start. I know it's tough to do now because the lockdowns and all that good stuff, and I just asked you to support this on Patreon, but inflation's coming. Inflation is coming. When you spend money like this, and we've done these, and I'm on record. You can go back to the YouTube channel and see me bitching about omnibus bills from days of yore. I hate these omnibus bills. We're spending money like crazy. Then we went crazy spending during COVID. And then you justify that. You're like, well, it's me getting my money back. And then they put all these other BS programs on there. And they just did another one. And now
they're going to do another one.
Yeah. And Biden's talking about like $1.9 trillion. And then he's got these policies coming in. He's going to start doing this mandated $15 minimum wage. It's a recipe for disaster. I hope I'm wrong. I hope it's all sunshine and lollipops, but brace yourself. brace for it'll be a bit of a, it's going to be some rocky weather, I think, coming out. Okay, so we're going to skadoosh and skip on over to the Patreon segment of the show. I want to talk a little bit. I don't know about Unity, but we've got some more election stuff. I got some Greg Gutfeld stuff. I got some more WandaVision stuff. It's a fun segment. It's a good segment over on Patreon. So we're wrapping it up here. Come join us over there. And thank you, thank you, thank you for going to iTunes and leaving comments and leaving ratings and telling your friends, because we're doing it. We're doing it right. We got that cookie-eating, sexy, heathen lifestyle. Talk to you later.